The King is bidding you to come, beloved. The King is inviting you to the wedding feast for his son. And he's calling you to come. The question is, are you ignoring his call? Are you too busy to come? Are you saying, I'm sorry, I'm just not interested? Oh, beloved, to miss that call is to miss life. To miss that call is to incur the wrath of God rather than the peace of the kingdom. Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He's come to Jerusalem to celebrate the final Passover. This is the time when the Lamb of God will be slain to take away the sins of the world, to deliver people from their bondage to sin, even as they were delivered from the land of Egypt. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are plotting against him. He begins to tell them parables after coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. In Matthew chapter 21, he begins those parables. In verse 45, we read, "When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the people, because they considered him to be a prophet." Jesus spoke to them again in parables. The them implies that once again, Jesus is telling these parables in the presence of the chief priests, in the presence of the Pharisees, in the presence of the elders. And it says, he spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention. And they went their way, one to his farm, and then another went to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them, put them to death." And it says, "But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murders and set their city on fire." This is such a significant statement in the midst of this parable. Not only is it a significant statement, but it is a prophetic statement. He's telling a story, and when people listen to a story, many times they are caught up in that story. And caught up in that story, they remember that story. And I'm sure that years later, and not too many years later, some of them would remember the story and remember the significance of what he said. In verse 8, "Then he said to his slaves, 'Go, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" I would at this point take a pencil or a pen and I would underline it, "But those who were invited were not worthy." He says, "Go therefore to the main highways. And as you go to the main highways, as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast." And those slaves went out into the streets and they gathered all that they found. They gathered those people and they called them to come in, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there without wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Let's stop right here. We've looked at the parable. We've looked at the beginning of the parable. We've looked at the end of the parable. And we've looked at the conclusion. The conclusion of the parable. The point of this parable is this: that many are called, but few are chosen. Now stop and think about that in the light of the parable that was just told us. He goes out and he invites his friends. He invites them to come to the wedding of his son. This is a king. Listen carefully. This is a king with a son. And the king with the son is looking for a guest to come to the wedding of his son. So he goes out, and as he goes out, he comes to call people. He comes and he calls people. Look at verse 3. "And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, but they were unwilling to come. He called them, but they refused to come. Many are called, but few are chosen." And then he goes out to get more. He calls them again. He prepares the dinner. He invites them to come, but they have excuses. One's going to go to his farm. The other one's going to go to his business. The other one could absolutely care less. Then the rest that refuse to come grab his slaves, mistreat them, and kill them. Now what he's doing is he is giving them a picture of who they are. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. Remember, as we read, and Jesus goes to Tyre and Sidon, and the Syrophoenician woman comes and she has a demon-possessed daughter and she's saying, "Heal her." And he says, "No." He says, "No, I've come to the Jews." He came to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. He says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." But then she explains, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs off of the table that fall to the ground." And he's amazed at her faith. He's amazed at her faith, and yet those that he came to are rejecting him. And so as he's there talking to these chief priests, these elders, these scribes, these Pharisees, you and I have to remember that they are enemies. They are enemies. They take the slaves of the king, the servants of the king. They mistreat them. They kill them. And what are they going to do? Well, we heard it before. We heard it in the parables, in the parable in Matthew chapter 21. They're going to kill the son. So he's once again showing the scribes and the Pharisees for who they really are. And you and I have to understand this. They have a religion, but not a relationship. They want to come to God on their own righteousness. They're ignorant. They're ignorant that they cannot do that. They think that by keeping the law and because they're of the seed of Abraham, that they have a right into the kingdom of heaven. And he's showing them, no, you don't. No, you don't. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those that are chosen will come to God God's way. So then what does he do? He gives them this prophecy right in the middle of this parable. And he tells them that the king is enraged. And what he's going to do is he's going to come and he's going to burn their city. He's going to come and he's going to destroy that city with fire. Is that going to happen? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The year is approximately, let's say, 29 to 30 AD. It's about that time. In 70 AD, 40 years later, a Roman general by the name of Titus will come to Jerusalem and he will destroy Jerusalem. He's going to destroy Jerusalem so that on the Temple Mount, there will be a second destruction of the second temple. And all the stones will come tumbling down, and the gold between the stones will be picked out and taken as a spoil of war. And this is going to happen. This is going to happen in 70 AD. And so what he's doing is he's letting them know what is going to happen to their city. He's going to tell them, and Luke tells us, he's going to talk to them about the time when this is going to happen. He's going to tell them in Luke chapter 21 that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then flee. Then flee. You say, well, how could they flee if they're surrounded by armies? Well, this is what happened. Titus surrounded them with armies. And then something happened and Titus withdrew his troops. So then they could leave Jerusalem. Those that had listened to Jesus, those that had believed Jesus, those that had heard his prophecy that is given, and we're going to see it later, the prophecy that is given about the destruction of the city. Those people could have fled. They could have saved their lives. But those that did not believe would not flee, and they would be destroyed for the second time on Tish B'Av, the same month, the same day, the temple would be destroyed again, and the city would be destroyed by fire. Why? Because those that were bidden to come to the feast refused to come. Those that were bidden to come to the wedding feast said, no, we're too busy. We don't want to come. And they seized the king's slaves and they murdered them. They mistreated them and they murdered them. God deals with sin. Listen to me very carefully, precious one. You cannot reject Jesus Christ and not pay the consequences. Because he came and he calls us. He calls us and he bids us come. And we are free to come. From a human aspect, we hear the message. We are free to come. But listen, when we come, we've got to come his way. And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Guests had been invited to the house of the king. They had been invited to the wedding supper, and yet they refused to come. They even killed some of their slaves. And so the king was enraged, and he said he was going to destroy their city with fire. But he would have guests at that wedding feast for his son. He would. So he sent his slaves out, and they went out through the streets. And remember, they invited others to come in. What is this a picture of? I believe, beloved, it is a picture of the Jews' rejection as a nation of the son of David, the king who was to rule. And because they refused, then their rejection has become our salvation. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, let's stop and look at those guests that did come in from the streets. They did come into the wedding. But As the king walked through, he saw one without a wedding garment on. And that man was taken, bound hand and foot, and taken out and cast into outer darkness. What is God showing us? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus who has come to die in our stead, the good news of Jesus who is going to reign as King of Kings, the good news of Jesus who will come the first time as a suffering Savior, the second time as a reigning King, and be given an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting dominion. Paul says that he was not ashamed of that gospel because it was the power of God to everyone that believed, to the Jew first and then to the Greek or then to the barbarian, to anyone that was not a Jew, to the goyim, to the Gentiles, to the nations is another way to say it. Now, when we read in Romans chapter 11, what he's doing is he is explaining in Romans 9, 10, and 11, the gospel as it relates to the nation of Israel. And as he explains the gospel as it relates to the nation of Israel, he tells us in Romans chapter 11 that God has not rejected his people, has he? And he says no, because he hadn't rejected Paul. So some Jews will believe, but the nation as a whole, now this is what Matthew is showing us, that the king came, that he was the son of David, he was the son of Abraham. But the religious people did not receive him. The nation as a whole said, we do not want this man to reign over us. So he turns from the Jewish nation to go out to call the Gentiles. And so what Paul is showing in Romans chapter 11, in verse 11, but I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? And he says, may it never be. By their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles, has come to the Gentiles to make them, the Jews, jealous. And so he talks and tells the story of the natural olive tree. The natural olive tree and some of the branches were broken off because of their unbelief. And then there's a wild olive tree. And that wild olive tree has branches that are grafted in to the natural olive tree. That wild olive tree are those people that he goes out and he gets in the highways and he bids them to come to the wedding. And so they come. And if they believe, if they put on that wedding garment, so to speak, and they believe, then they are grafted into the natural olive tree. So then he goes on to say in Romans 11:25, he says, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own eyes, in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. In other words, the Jews' rejection has been the salvation of the Gentiles. The parable, the king has prepared a wedding feast. He wants guests at that wedding feast. So he's gone into the highways and the byways just to bid anyone to come in. They're called. And then he goes on to say, so all Israel will be saved just as it is written. Now he's not talking about all of Israel from the beginning of time. Rather, he's talking about the Jews that are living when he comes in his power and in his glory. And we're going to study that when he comes in his power and his glory to reign upon the earth. He says, so all Israel will be saved just as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion, from the heavenly Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint, now listen carefully, of God's choice, from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Why? is this remnant of Jews beloved for the sake of the fathers. He says it in the next verse, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So we go back to the parable in Matthew chapter 22. And as we go back to that parable in Matthew chapter 22, you and I need to understand now what he's saying about the guests that come in. And then he sees one without a wedding garment. The king or the host would provide wedding garments for the guests so that when they came in, they would put on the wedding garment and then they would sit and enjoy the wedding feast. Here is a man that came in that was called to come in, but when he came in, he did not put on a wedding garment. And because he did not put on a wedding garment, because he did not follow, now listen carefully, the protocol of the king, because he did not follow the custom of the king, therefore he was taken out of there. He was bound hand and foot. Listen to what it says. Bind him hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a Gentile that misses the kingdom of God, even as the scribes and Pharisees miss the kingdom of God. Because listen to me very carefully. There's only one way to get into the kingdom of God. And that one way is through the king. It's through the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus makes that very clear. And he makes it very clear in the upper room as he gathers his disciples and celebrates the final Passover with them. And when he celebrates that final Passover with them, he does some teaching. And as he does the teaching, one of the things he says is this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. So if you're going to come to the Father, you have to be clothed with his robes of righteousness. Jesus, who knew no sin, beloved, was made to be sin for you and me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. You can't come into heaven your way. You can only come into heaven by acknowledging that you are a sinner, and that your unrighteousness is keeping you from heaven, and that you need his righteousness. And when you say that, he clothes you, so to speak, in a garment and gives you eternal life. This is one of the messages of one of the parables, a message also for you and me who have come from the highways and the byways because we've heard the call.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? We'll be right back. bottom line of the parable was that many were called, but few were chosen. You know, we don't like the word chosen, do we? We don't like the thought that God would choose us. We like the thought that we can choose God, that we can come to Him any way we want. And we paint a God that is going to receive anybody and everybody, anytime, any place. And yet this parable makes it very, very clear that if you come to God, you come to God God's way. I want to take you. There are many places where the word chosen is used. And it's important for you, if you have a problem with this, to look up every scripture that has to do with being chosen. Write down what you learn. Mark the word in the text. Go from one scripture to another scripture. But listen to this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. This is God's word to you today. If you know Him, beloved, you know Him because He called you. You know Him because He chose you. And you know that you know Him because you're going to persevere in the faith, because you're going to endure even in tribulation. You know that you know Him because you are going to obey Jesus Christ. He's not only your Savior, but He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your king. And this is God's message to you and to me today. You say, but I'm afraid. I'm not chosen. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to belong to God? Do you want to belong to God? Do you want to be part of the family of God? Do you want to know Jesus Christ? Do you want Him to rule over you? If that desire is in your heart, I can tell you that God has placed it there because He's calling you to come to Him. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I come. I come to my Savior and I come to my King. I want to obey Jesus Christ. Even if I suffer, I'm coming. And then God knows, and you know that you are called and chosen.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.